Great hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. I want to talk about this morning, if you all will give me just a few minutes. I want to come from the subject of don't crowd out love. Don't crowd out love. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, don't crowd out. C-R-O-W-D, crowd out love. Don't crowd out love. Don't crowd out love. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me, amen, to the book of John, chapter 13. Book of John, chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 34 and 35. Don't crowd out love. When you find it, say amen. You may remain seated. You guys don't have to stand up this morning. I know we usually stand for the reading of God's word, but amen. If you want to stand, that's fine. But if you'd like to keep your seats, I'm just going to read this passage of scripture for you this morning. Amen. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Man, and the Bible says, man, from the King James Version this morning for you, reading is, a new covenant I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one to another. Thus end the reading of God's word. You may be seated. My brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you from the subject of don't crowd out love. We see here that in my Bible, as well as some of your Bibles, I believe that this is in red writing. Amen? And anything that we see in red writing in our Bibles is Jesus talking specifically. Amen? And I believe that anything in our Bibles that's written in red, we really need to pay attention to. Amen? John chapter 13, verse 34 says, a new covenant I give you, and Jesus is talking, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But this shall all men, that means all of us in here, the whole Orange Chapel Church family, know that ye are my disciples, amen, if ye have love one to another. And I like the way Jesus presented this to his disciples, that if ye are my disciples, all of us are really happy and excited this morning to be members of the church. But let me tell you something, God never called anybody to be a member of anything. He said that we were all members of one body, but he called us to be disciples. Everybody in here ought to be able to go tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord and about Jesus Christ in order that they may be saved. That is our purpose in life. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Your greatest danger, my brothers and sisters, your greatest danger is in letting urgent things crowd out important things. Amen. In letting urgent things, that means those things that pop up. Have you ever had something that just popped up? That's an urgent thing. But we allow those things to crowd out the important things. And let me tell you something. The important thing for the Christian is love. Amen? But a lot of times you come into your church and love is the last thing you get. You better not be a pretty single woman. I've heard so many single women say, you know, I really struggle finding a church home because as soon as I walk in, all the sisters start rolling their eyes at me and holding a man real close. Amen? That don't happen here. I know it doesn't happen here. I have so many young men that say, you know, man, I don't have a suit to wear or a tie. I don't know how to tie a tie. So I just wear my jeans and my T-shirt and everybody looks down. When I don't get any love when I go to the church. I knew it was going to get quiet. But we allow urgent things to crowd out important things. That was just a side note. That ain't even a sermon. Charles Hummel, in his book, The Tyranny of the Urgent, says, attempting to be a love-filled person never seems urgent, yet it's eternally important. Loving never seems to be urgent, but it's eternally important because that was a commandment that Jesus gave, that we love one another. Amen? Yeah, it's Valentine's time, and it's easy to love your significant other. Amen? It's easy to love that person you pay bills with. It's easy to love that person, amen, that y'all finna file your taxes and trying to figure out how you can get the most money back. We're going to have a whole lot of happy marriages here in a few weeks because y'all going to have a little bit of money. Amen. But when we think of the great love chapter in the Bible, and I remember when Pastor Savage came over and preached to us, and he came out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen. And that is when we talk about love, people immediately think of that particular passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians. Amen. But John 13 is equally important. Jesus said, "A new covenant I give you, that you love one another. By this we will know that you are my disciples, if ye have love for one another." Tradition tells of the farewell address of the aged Apostle John in his first century congregation. Passionately, he urged them to love one another as he had often done. We've heard that. They said, give us a new covenant. John paused thoughtfully and then deliberately quoted the words of the Lord Jesus Christ given in John 13, amen, in 34. A new covenant I give you, that you love one another. John couldn't think of, he could think of no other commandment equal to loving one another. God's strategy for the church, God's call for the church, my brothers and sisters, is to love one another. This reoccurring theme in the Bible, it's all over the Bible. The Apostle Peter placed love for others at the top of his list. He said in 1 Peter, amen, chapter 4 and verse 8. Turn there if you don't mind. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Are we there yet? Somebody read that for me. Did y'all see that? He says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. That's 1 Peter 4 and 8. Peter even said it. Amen. Paul also called the way of love a more excellent way in 1 Corinthians 12 and 31. Am I right about it? John Calvin reminds us that where the love is wanting, the beauty of all virtue is mere tinsel. Is empty sound is not worth a straw. Nay, more is offensive and disgusting. It is time for us, my brothers and sisters, to exemplify the commandment that Christ gave us, is to love one another. But so many times, we don't know how to love. Amen. Y'all know the song that Lil Wayne, he talks about how to love. And we preached on that and talked about so many times. But do we really know how to love in the church? Do we really know how to love as Christians? Amen. The Bible, amen, when you're A-plus Christian, the Bible teaches us to love our neighbors as ourselves. But the day of going next door to get a cup of sugar, it is null and void. It no longer exists. The time of trusting other people to talk to them about your problems and your issues and things that are going on in your life, the time of killing a hog and giving them half the meat is gone. But how do people feel when they come into church? Do they feel like they're a part of what's going on? Because what really should be going on is a celebration for who Jesus Christ is. But oftentimes, that's the last thing that we talk about. We want to talk about money. We want to talk about the building fund. We want to talk about this. But you know what? Our focus has to remain on Jesus in order to love. Because Jesus Christ himself exemplified love to the fullest. Amen? Do you know why? Do you know why those 12? Okay, let me go back. Jesus Christ called those 12 disciples to follow him. He said, follow me, right? He told them to follow, and they followed him, right? Jesus Christ began ministry at 30 years old. He died on the cross at 33. He's in ministry for 3 years. Amen? How many of y'all could go grab 12 people, say, follow me, and they would stick with you for 3 years? The same ones. You know why they follow Jesus Christ? Is because he showed them love. And he was a great example because everywhere he went, he showed other people love. And you wonder why your circle's so small. You know, I don't fool with nobody now because you don't love nobody. That's your fault. You know, I'm particular about who I hang with. Right, yeah, because you You don't love nobody. Ooh, I know. I know that's tough. But how many of you could grab up 12? Ron, could you grab 12? And based on your level of love, they're going to stick with you for 3 years? Some of us can't stay committed to a note for 3 years. They come pick your stuff up. I can do it in 3 years. 36-month note, it's gone in 60 days. Can't stay committed. But what Christ was committed to was love. Why? While we were sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did you all realize that? I could just stop right there. That's my whole sermon. I just blew it right there. But Paul called the way of love a more excellent way in 1 Corinthians 12 and 31. Let's look at this. There was an early church leader that said his name was Tertullian. And I found this, and I've been looking up a lot of different quotes and everything just to share with you. He said, it's our care of the helpless, our practice of loving kindness that brands us in the eyes of our opponents. Did y'all see? Y'all hear that? Talking about love. And they're talking about the Christian. This was a book to the Christian people, to people like you and I. He said, it is our care of the helpless, our practice of loving kindness that brands us in the eyes of our opponents. Look, they say, how they love one another. Look how they are prepared to die for one another. Note, the Bible teaches us that there's no greater love than a man that will lay down his life for a friend. There's no, do you want to have that 100%, that A+ love? That A+ love has to be the type of love that you'll lay down your life for your friend. That's the kind of love that Christ exemplified for us. Do you have enough love to just stay committed? Do you have enough love just to stay in touch? What is your level of love these days? Or do you only love because you're receiving something from that particular individual? Because Jesus Christ commanded, he said, I give you a new covenant. You love each other like I loved you. Fellas, y'all rode with me. Y'all were with me every step of the way, and I fed you when you were hungry. Peter, I saved you when you didn't have faith and you started to fall under. I reached my hand. I said, hey, focus on me. Come on up. And he knew from day one what the fallout was going to be. And we're going to talk about that before I close, and I'm almost done. I just want to drop this in on you. It's Valentine's Day, and a whole lot of us in here talking about who we love. Some of y'all talking about who you don't love. I can't stand Pastor McGuire. You know, people have asked me several times, and it's funny how you always get asked these questions at work. How I communicate God's love to a self-centered world. They say, as a preacher, how do you teach? How do you get over to your congregation God's love because people are so self-centered? That's a tough question. And oftentimes I've had to sit back and really ponder over this particular question. Y'all know we have a lot of self-centered people. We are so self-centered. Cameras used to be made to take pictures of other folks, right? Y'all remember those days where you had your camera and you took pictures that way? Our cell phones now, we can hit a little button and take a picture of ourselves. Self-centered. Is my phone the only one that does that? In all y'all's Facebook, you got a picture on them. We've turned into lovers of ourselves. Amen? We have daughters, we have mothers and daughters competing against each other. Who's the prettiest? We have sons and fathers competing against the same out there in the community. We have some, even sons and fathers that are competing over the same block. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We live in a self-centered world where everybody thinks about themselves. And then, deacons, we wonder why people don't bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be meat. Nobody care about it being meat for the house. No, I ain't bring my money down. I don't know what they doing. Amen? How many of us have said that? Oh, I'm the only one. I used to be where you sit. Amen? I got so bad one time, you know, I could select where I wanted to put mine. So I selected an area I wanted to put my money in. I didn't put it over there because I didn't know what they were doing over there because I didn't have love nor trust. And when you don't trust, you don't love. When you don't love, you don't trust. Woo-wee! You know what? I did that and none of that money was blessed. Because I was wrong as two left shoes. Because I was self-centered. Because I wanted it to be my way. Amen? Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? I promise I'm almost done. When I'm asked that question about how I communicate God's love in a self-centered world, what I have to do is immediately go to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus modeled love for us. We're told to love as he loved. But the question is, how did he love? Amen? He modeled love in at least two ways. And those ways were, if you want to write this down, by serving his disciples and those people around him. On Chapel, how many times have we been somewhere to eat except for last night? Because I did eat before y'all, but I knew we had plenty of food. At the point where the pastor, because we are the ultimate servant. Guess what? These deacons, they are ultimate servants. At the point where you are no longer serving and you're being served, you're not the servant anymore. That's why when we go to 3 o'clock services, that's why y'all eat before I do. Because I have to make sure that you guys are taken care of before I come along. But that's my job. Because I love you. And I'm concerned with you. And Jesus Christ was he showed up where 5,000 people had followed him, had listened to his teaching. Amen. And what he didn't want those people to leave there, somebody meet him. You know, people are walking and they fall out, pass out because they've been with Jesus all day. Brother Bill and Linda show up and say, where y'all been? What's wrong with you? Why'd you pass out? Well, I've been with Jesus all day. What? You've been with Jesus and he didn't take care of you? He didn't feed you? That's why it was important for Jesus to feed the 5,000, because some people had walked from miles away. You know what? And it's sad, my brothers and sisters, when we come to the house of God. And your preacher feed your Sunday school teacher and your preacher, your pastor do all that they can do to feed you. They give you everything that you need and you have a fainting spell right down the street. You fall out from malnourishment, but you receive. Oh, y'all missed that, didn't you? There's no need for you to leave here hungry. Amen. And if you leave here hungry, you tripping up right down the road. Come on, we need to check this thing. Amen. But Jesus always took care of his disciples, and he always took care of the people. Whenever there was a demonic spirit, when somebody was possessed by a demon, you know what? He had love and compassion on him, and he cast it out. Amen? When the ten lepers came, what did he do? He healed them. Amen? Only one came back to thank him. Oh, man, y'all just making this hard this morning. I thought it was going to be another one of them hooping and hollering sermons. He served his disciples. But then, look at 1 John 4 and 10. 1 John 4 and 10. Jesus is our model because he, by serving and then by sacrificing, he sacrificed his life. Somebody read 1 John 4 and 10. Uh-huh. Is that 1 John? First John 4:10. Yes. 1 John 4:10. I'm sorry. You see that as an atoning sacrifice for our sins? Christ died for us simply. He sacrificed himself for us. Amen? Isn't that good news? That's why I said, that's why I was singing a song earlier, said he's my Savior. And I'm excited about that. Amen? Before his crucifixion, Jesus, knowing who he was and why he had come into this world, took a towel and began to wash his disciples' feet. In John chapter 13, verses 3 through 5, Jesus communicated his love by humble service and by his sacrificial death. Jesus, the preeminent leader of all history, was also the preeminent servant of all times. He's our model. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? I realize, my brothers and sisters, that in today's society, you know, we get more excited about a fight on YouTube. Are y'all going to pray with me? Than we do the Word of God. My brothers and sisters, the voice of Francis Schaeffer broke to the Christian world in the 1960s like a fresh, gentle rain. He reminded that decade that ultimate mark of a believer is a demonstration of God's love. I say all the time that there ought to be something about all of us that reminds people of Jesus Christ. If we are truly followers of Jesus Christ, there ought to be something about us that reminds people of him. And if I were you, I would allow that to be love. Amen. I know that sometimes people look at my daddy and they look at myself and they look at these bald heads and they say, yep, that's his son. But there ought to be something about all of us in here, amen, that reminds us of love. We shouldn't allow all the things that are going on in the world, all the things that are going on in the government, all the things that are going on in our communities to crowd out love. We shouldn't let situations and circumstances and hills and valleys, rains and storms, trials and tribulations to crowd out love in our lives. Amen? Are y'all going to pray with me? My brothers and sisters, Scripture reminds us of divine love and that it never fails in 1 Corinthians 13:8. True love never fails. Do y'all believe that this morning? Health fails. Has anybody's health ever failed? Business fails. Governments fail. Even friends fail. But God's love never fails. God's love never fails. Jesus, my brothers and sisters, amen, in the book of John, amen, he's coming down to his last days. He's coming down to his last moments with his disciples. Amen, a man who is all God and all man. This is God in the flesh, the one who's in heaven right now, the one who Jesus Christ is interceding for us right now. God himself in the flesh humbled himself and loved his disciples to the point where he knelt down. This is what we're leading to. And he washed the feet of his disciples. Not one of them, not two of them, but all 12 of them. Even Peter, he knew at that very point, my brothers and sisters, that Peter was going to deny him. Woo! Are y'all going to pray with me? But he still loved him. He knew that Judas was going to deceive him with a kiss. Are y'all going to pray with me? That Judas was going to set him up. And he told him a few minutes later, he said, well, what you going to do? Just do it quickly. I know Thomas. And he knew that Thomas was even going to doubt him. But he showed the ultimate love, my brothers and sisters. But some of us are holding on to things that happened a long time ago. Some of us are holding on to grudges, my brother, and we can't move forward unless we love. Amen. It's time out for hate and it's time for love. Amen. It's time out for confusion and it's time to show a little bit of love. Some of us can't move forward in life because we keep on looking behind us. What they did and what they said. But I'm telling you, what's ahead of you is a lot better than what's been behind you. Are y'all going to pray with me? Peter doubted. He denied Jesus 3 times. The disciples doubted. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26 that all the disciples forsook him and fled. Ain't God all right? All of the 12 that stayed with him for 3 long years. Are y'all going to pray with me? The same ones that saw him heal the sick. The same ones that saw him raise Jairus' baby girl up from the dead. Are y'all going to pray with me? The same disciples that saw Jesus cast out demons. When the things got tough. When the heat got turned up. The Bible says that all the disciples forsook him and fled. Are y'all going to pray with me? Jesus knew, hallelujah, what all those disciples were going to do. But he loved them anyway. Are y'all going to pray with me? Jesus knew, hallelujah, that Thomas was going to doubt him. But he died for Thomas anyway. Jesus knew, hallelujah, that Peter was going to deny him 3 times before the cock crowed. But he died for him anyway. Are y'all going to pray with me? Jesus knew that sometimes you were going to have a bad attitude. But he died for you anyway. Some of y'all asked the question, why does he love me so much? I can't answer that question. I sure wish I could. But you know what? We serve a mighty God. We serve an awesome God that can look past all of our faults and he sees all of our needs. There's somebody here that needs a little more love. There's somebody here that needs to show a little more love, because there's somebody out there that is looking at you. They can't see Jesus, but they can see the Jesus in you. Are y'all gonna pray with me? It's time out for playing church, and it's time to be the church. It's time out for singing the songs, and it's time to feel what you're singing. Are y'all gonna pray with me? You wonder why that you're not effective. It's because you're not showing love. Ain't God all right? In order to love somebody, you gotta give. Ain't God all right? Jesus gave his life for you. Jesus gave his life for me. And we ought to love one another. The Bible asks the question, how do we know that we're saved? And it gives an answer. If you love the brethren, ain't God all right? I'm here to tell you, Orange Chapel, no matter what you do, no matter what you say about me, no matter how bad you talk about me, I still love you because God said so. No matter how much you lie on me, just keep on lying. I'm going to love you anyway. Go on and cheat if you want to. I'm still going to love you because Jesus loved me so much that he pulled me up out of a burning hell. Ain't God all right? Are y'all going to pray with me? It's time for us to concentrate on love and stop crowding out love with all this mess. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all may not want to hear me this morning, but I'm going to preach it anyway. It's time to love and stop hating. It's time to give and stop getting. Ain't God all right? Let me tell you a little story before I leave here this morning. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah, there was a bus that was traveling out in Colorado. They were riding along the mountaintop. Hallelujah, there was a cliff on one side and a mountain on the other side. The bus driver was driving along, and every once in a while he would look in his rearview mirror and see all the children smiling and having a good time. as he was coming around the mountain, he began to pump on his brakes, and he realized that his brakes had gone out. Are y'all gonna pray with me? He's coming around the mountain and he's picking up speed. He's looking over the cliff and said, well, if I go over that way, I'm gonna kill everybody. And if I turn over this way, I'm gonna run over the mountain. Are y'all gonna pray with me? He's coming down the mountain. He really has nowhere to go. He's coming down and he's picking up speed. But then he remembered. He said, if I can just get around this last corner, there's a place, there's a little field that I think I can get through. There's a gate, but I believe I can get in that field and I can break my speed and I don't have to hurt nobody. Are y'all gonna pray with me? He's wrestling with the bus and the children behind him are still playing, having a good time. Never once did he tell him he was in trouble. Never once did he act like he was out of control, because he realized that all of those parents had trusted him with all of their children. He's coming around the mountain, y'all. And then he gets down and he's coming around. He said, I believe I can make a break for it. But then he looks and he sees a little boy sitting on the gate that goes into the field. Are y'all gonna pray with me? He sees a little boy sitting on the gate, and the little boy waves at him. And he's thinking to himself, I'm either gonna have to turn to the left or turn to the right and kill everybody on here, or either I might just have to take out the little boy that's in front of me. The only escape I have, the only way for all of these children to live, is for me to just keep on going. He holds on to the steering wheel. He's moving at a high rate of speed. And he runs right through the gate. Hallelujah. He finally gets the bus stopped. Are y'all gonna pray with me? He finally gets the bus stopped. And all the parents were called. And they came out to pick up their children. And many of them started to ask questions about the bus driver. We want to thank the bus driver for saving our babies. We want to thank the bus driver, amen, for not going over the cliff or crashing into the mountain. He must be one of the greatest drivers that ever lived. Then a police officer came over to him. He said, we're very sorry to tell y'all, but the bus driver is at the hospital right now, because there was a little boy that was sitting on the gate that he came through when he came off the mountain. He couldn't go left and he couldn't go right. And the only way he could have saved your babies is to go straight through that gate. And on that gate, the little boy that was sitting on the gate was the bus driver's son. Are y'all gonna pray with me? My brothers and my sisters, the only way for you and I to be saved was for God himself to take out his only begotten son. Ain't God all right? Ain't he all right? I'm so glad that he thought about me. I'm so glad that he sacrificed his son for me. Ain't God all right? Ain't he all right? He could have killed all of us, my brothers and sisters. All of us could be in a burning hell. But you know what? He didn't let anything crowd out love. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. Woo! Ain't that good news, church? He did it for us. Steve, could you take out little Steve for us? Could you take out Keytron for us? Could you take me out for them? Could you take Robin out for us? Could you take Chase out for us? Could you take Candace out for us? Could you take Jace out for us? Take Jameson out for us? You realize what God did? You realize what God did for us? He could have saved his son, but he didn't. He didn't let anything crowd out love. Some bad kids on that bus. His boy was a perfect boy. His boy was an obedient boy. His boy had a loving heart. His boy had a giving heart. And he smiled. And he waved. Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He looked at his daddy's face right before.